Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
I love Wednesday night church. I love being a part of a local church. How many of you love the local church? Anybody? I'm telling you, I don't know how people do life outside of the local church. Some of you remember. You're like, oh, I remember what it was like. And you're glad to be here tonight. Some of you have been like me. You've been in church your whole life. I'm telling you, the longer you're in church, the more you like it. I could literally sit in church every single night and I would be tickled. So I just like it more and more every year that I get to live in it. Y'all give Crystal a big hand clap for singing like that. Look at her. I'm killing her right now. Musicians, a funny thing about them, they all like to be on stage, but they don't like you calling them out when they're not on stage. I've noticed this about the whole crew of musicians that I've worked with for 20-some-odd years. Not a single one of them likes being called out. But preachers, we don't care. Call us out anywhere. We'll talk. It's good. But the musicians, they don't like getting in the spotlight unless they got an instrument in their hand or a microphone in their hand. So I'm messing with her tonight. We're so glad you're here. I'm glad it's fall. I love the fall. I went to the pumpkin patch this week with all my kiddos, and I wanted to tell y'all a funny story, so I decided to tell one on me. I'd rather tell one on Brian, but the best one I know is the one on me, so I'm going to tell you guys that one tonight. We first moved to Kentucky. Now, mind you, I grew up in West Texas, so there are no trees. You got to give me some grace here. I'm not stupid. I'm just uninformed, okay? So I grew up in a place where there were no trees, and I guess they hunt some things there. But it's not as big a thing as it is here. You know, we already know that the first weekend that you can hunt deer, it's going to be a big one, right? And people are going to pray that God helps them to shoot the deer before the Sunday hits, because I want them to come to church. So I'm always praying for your hunting thing that you get it. And so we moved here, and we were driving down the road out near Webster County, because that's where Brian is from, and I'd heard people talk about deer stands, deer stands, deer stands, deer stands. Well, I didn't know what that looked like. I'd never seen a deer stand in my whole entire life, and I guess there wasn't anything to put them in, you know. So I was looking and trying to see, you know, trying to act like I was trying to learn about the area. We'd probably lived here about a year or two, and I said, Brian, look over there. Is that a deer stand? I was so proud of myself that I'd spotted one, you know, just in the wild, you know. And we were driving down the highway. He said, honey, that is $1 million mine entrance. What are you even talking about? This big metal structure that led all these people down into the mine. He said, you are weirder than I thought that you were. So I was embarrassed. So now every time we go by that mine entrance, I have to hear about a deer stand. Ever since then, it's been 13 years. So anyway, I love the fall. I love everybody hunting. I love the pumpkins. I love the pumpkin pie. I love the whole nine yards. Not a big fan of the pumpkin spice latte, but you do you. I love it. We just have fun and enjoy the seasons that God gives us. And as we enter into my favorite season, which happens to be fall, I guess it's a tight contest between fall and spring. I'm not a summer girl. My skin tells you that God already said no. So I am trying to stay out of the sun as much as humanly possible. And I love the fall and spring because they're more mild temperatures. But I love that we live in a place that we can go through all of the seasons. Don't you enjoy that we have all of the seasons and we get a little shift in that? Ryan and Layla are just back from Thailand. There's Ryan Thompson. How are you, Ryan? And she was saying that their kids are going to be shocked when it starts getting cold because they've never been cold before. You know, it's their first time. They've lived in Thailand all these years. And I was thinking about our kids just getting to be raised in these seasons that we go through in the natural. But how many of you know we have seasons that aren't natural, like the fall, winter, spring, summer, but you go through seasons in your life. And aren't you glad that the seasons don't last forever? Sometimes people want to hold on to the season because it was a good one, and sometimes people want to jump into the next one because they're not loving the one that they're in. But overall, I'm glad that we don't have to stay in one season for the rest of our life. In the Amarillo campus, we have a worship leader who's very pregnant right now, and I was talking to her over the FaceTime in the staff meeting yesterday, and I said, Courtney, I just want you to know that I love it that you're in the season of having babies, and I also love it that I am done with the season of having babies. So I just bless you in Jesus' name and pray that the same thing does not come upon me right now. I'm done having babies, but I loved it when I was in the season of having babies. How many of you ever had a season that you just absolutely loved? I mean, just adored. See, Crystal's in that season of having babies. She's loving that season. But then you move on to the next season where you can just literally walk out the door and get in your car without packing up the whole of North America. And it is beautiful. I mean, there's something freeing about being able to go somewhere, you know? So we've got these seasons in our life, and I've noticed something about Christians. Sometimes we don't maneuver these situations, these seasons, very well. And I was really just led by the Lord tonight to talk to you about this. I've been mulling it over for a few days and just kind of looking and studying. And there's a scripture that I want to share with you tonight. I'd like you to read along with me. If you go into the book of Ecclesiastes, please. And we're going to go to chapter 3. If you didn't bring your Bible to church tonight, maybe you have it on your phone. I really encourage you, anytime you're in church, to get your Bible, even if it's on your phone or your apparatus, whatever it is. And then to either go to the notebook in your phone, or, God forbid, we write with pen and paper. I know that would be completely archaic. But there's something beautiful about writing something down because it helps it stick in your memory. And the notebooks full of notes that I've taken over the years are very precious to me. I love them very much. I keep them near and dear to me, and I like to go back and look and see what I learned and see, did I ever actually apply those things that God taught me in that service or in that prayer time or in that conversation with someone that I was learning from? Did I ever actually go through? And surprisingly, there are a lot of things in those notebooks that are a part of my life today that I would not have ever known how to apply had I not taken the notes on that. So I want to encourage you in your Christian walk to just become a student. Really come to church ready to learn and to add things to your life and the teaching. Let it come to you in a way that you're looking not just to hear something, but become a doer of that word that's on the inside of you now that it's come into your life. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3 and start in verse 1 here. It says, to everything there is a season. Everybody say a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. So no matter what season you find yourself in right now, I want you to be encouraged that there is a purpose for the season that God has you in right here and now. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. We call that the harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. You see, some of the seasons aren't the easy seasons, but they're necessary. A time to mourn, and then there's a time to dance. You know, I was raised up where we weren't allowed to dance, and ever since I got through that season of my life, I've tried to dance every single second that I get the chance. I can't even be friends with people that can't dance. Maybe you aren't able because you have no rhythm. You can still be my friend. But if you don't get excited when you hear music, I just don't know about you. Something about you, I'm just not sure about it. But I love, love, love to rejoice, especially with my kiddos. We dance all the time. If anybody's sad, we dance. It fixes it. I'm telling you, there's a beautiful thing to dance with a three-year-old that shifts their attitude in a split second. A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace. Oh, single people, let me hear you say yeah. And a time to refrain from embracing. I'm just going to let that sink in. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Thank God for a good garage sale. A time to tear and a time to sow. a time to keep silence. I'm working on this one, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You see, there are so many seasons and so many times, and I believe that the Lord wants to cause us to master these seasons, to cause us to embark on them with joy and with expectation, and in the process, even when it's hard, to come out on the other side somehow mastering a portion at least of that season, where we can go then into the next one and provide strength and help for someone else that might walk through that season. You see, we don't walk alone, do we, church? Do we walk alone? No. There are people on the other side of everything in your life. You think you're alone, you are not alone. Even when you feel alone, it's a season to teach you so that you can go into the next season with strength and talk to somebody about how to walk through loneliness. Every season has a purpose. There's something in it that you can learn and walk through and get to the other side of that season. I'm telling you, God has called us to encourage one another, to speak grace and to speak help to somebody. The Bible even talks about older women coming alongside younger women and teaching them how to walk out the next season of their life and how to live in the season that they're in now. I am telling you that the seasons that God will place you in may not be your favorite, but they should not be taken on as, oh, it's just a season. If I just get through it. Now, how many of you have ever been through a season that you just survived? Anybody? Just survived. I had a friend and she had a colicky baby and that baby cried every single hour of every single day. And she would look at me and she would say, that baby changed me. When her face said it, I believed it. I mean, she looked serious. She said, that baby changed me. She felt like that season of her life was stolen and she just really survived it. You've ever been through tragedy, you've ever been through death, you've ever been through any of these things, you may feel like you just survived that thing. But I believe that we are not called to just survive. There are times in life that we do, but we are not called by God to just survive. We are actually called by God to thrive in every single season of our life. And if there should be one goal in the Christian mind, it should be what? Am I to do in this season? How can I become stronger in this season? What is it in this season that I can learn, move on through, and get a hold of so that I can help somebody else maybe in the future? God's called us to do that. And sometimes it's not the most fun thing to be content in the season that you're in. In Philippians 4, in verse 11, it says, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am. Now, Brian and I, as we are going through the merger of the campus in Amarillo and the campus here, we have made a confession of faith in our house that in whatsoever state we are in, there we will be content. See, we have one child that does not like her sheets in Amarillo, Texas. And every single time that we wake up, she says, these sheets are itchy. I say, these sheets are the same sheets that you have in Owensboro, Kentucky. She said, well, I don't know what the difference is, but they don't feel the same. I've been trying to wash them double time. Every single day, she has something to say about those sheets. And you know what we say to her? We say, guess what, honey? In whatsoever state you are, there you will be content. We've just made a confession of our faith. I don't know what your itchy sheets are right now, but I know what the Lord is saying over you. The Father of your life is saying over you, in whatsoever state you are, there you will be content. He's looking for somebody that will say, man, I've learned to abound and I've learned to go without. I've learned to be hungry and I've learned to be full. I've learned that in whatsoever state I find myself, there I will be content. See, the devil wants to pervert. You say, Jesse, what do you mean pervert? Pervert just means to twist a little from the natural order of how God intended it to be. Have you noticed that the devil never creeps into your life wearing horns, a red suit, and holding a pitchfork? He comes in his goat leggings, and you're like, oh, I never saw that coming, and I let the devil in. No, the devil doesn't come like that. He doesn't come like looking like a Halloween costume. The devil sneaks into your life through a whole lot of truth and a little bit of lie. A whole lot of truth and a little bit of lie. I'm telling you, the devil tries to sneak into your house in every which way possible. I find that the world wants us to pervert the seasons of our life, and not in this big way where everybody's catching it and Christians know that it's bad, but the devil sneaks in to pervert the seasons of our life just a little twist off of what God's word says about us. He just twists it a little bit. Now, as he works through a culture and through a community, he gets braver and braver and more brazen and more brazen, and we stop listening, we stop hearing the voice of God, then the devil can trick us in a very bold way. But for the most part, Christians who are really loving Jesus and wanting to move through the seasons of life as God would have them to do, see, the twist comes through, man, I don't know if you have to be a part of a church. I think you are the church. Okay, that's cool. I am the church. So where should I belong? In a church. I'm a part of those who are called out and assembled together. It's called the ecclesia, the church, the people that God has called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And that church is the bride of Christ. And the Bible says that we should come together more and more and more as we see the day of Jesus' return approaching, not less and less and less. But there's this little twist that people, I just don't know that you have to be a part of a church. Yeah, you got to be a part of a church. Christians are part of church. Let's just settle the issue right now. Christians go to church. That's what we do. Why? Because it's in this place that God grows us, feeds us, gives us accountability, causes you to be pastored and led and helped by the fivefold ministry gifts that are called by God and will answer to him one day for your soul. People say to us, why do you care so much? We're pastors. We love people, and we will answer one day for their soul. That's why we care so much, because when I'm looking at you, I'm thinking, what's God gonna think about what I'm telling them now? What is God gonna say about how I lead them now? What is God gonna say about what we do in this crisis of marriage? What is God gonna do right now? See, I and pastors and fivefold ministry gifts, we answer for the souls of the sheep that we shepherd. It's big, big deal. You say, wow, I never thought about that. When you come into the church, what happens? You get direction and guidance and shepherding and help and healing and accountability and friendship and servanthood. You learn to give and you learn to be a tither. See, that's why the devil wants to say, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal that you go to church. Yeah, it's a big deal because it changes you. It changes the people around you. It's a big deal. Little twist from the original, right? So when we have little bitty kids, we try, the world is trying to just cause them to be teenagers. It's not that far off of their season. Just a little bit. Just last night, my kid said, can we buy this movie? It was just a kid movie. I said, sure. I said, do you guys mind if I watch something in my headphones? Because I don't want to watch this movie, but I want to sit with you. He said, no, that'll be great. So I sit my computer down on my lap, and I'm about to put my headphones on, and I get intrigued by this movie. I'm watching it, but I'm not really paying that close of attention. I'm talking to one kid, talking to the other. And all of a sudden, the most perverse thing that I have ever heard said comes through that thing. I mean, startling, shocking, something that no kid would understand what they said, but they were just pouring filth into my children. I grabbed that remote, turned it off. They said, Mama, what happened? I mean, it was the cutest show. You would have never known it. There were little puppy dogs running around. They were so cute. And I'm watching. I said, that's just like the devil to try to come in and mature my kids before their time. You see, the world wants to take kids and sexualize their childhood. It's just a twist off of what God's original intent was. Try to make them want to look like a teenager, want to act like a teenager, want to sexualize their thought processes and the things that they should be thinking about whenever they're kids. They should be allowed to be kids. You only get to be a kid one time. It's a season. take our teenagers. We want to turn them into adults. We want to cause them to be in relationships where it's like marriage practice. We call it dating. These promposals are better than my marriage proposal. I have no idea what's happening in this world. I am telling you. Better. I said, Brian Gibson, get in the game, son. Look at this Facebook promposal. Where was that when we were getting engaged to be married? They're just going to the prom together. Then we send them off on this prom wedding where they've got the beautiful dress and the things. And we wonder why they begin to behave as adults right after they get done. I'm telling you, our generation is just, we've just let it twist just enough. It's just that little bit off of what God had intended for teenagers, which was to live in the season of being a teenager so that they could have adult responsibilities handed to them. All the time in our culture, we're handing children the joy of adulthood without any of the responsibility of adulthood. Some of you hate this sermon tonight, but it's cool. And some of you are loving it. You've been waiting for someone to say it out loud. I'm telling you, we're letting them act like adults when they're teenagers, but none of the responsibility, because let's face it, we've twisted adulthood into men. Men. I actually had a young man in his 30s that worked for us and was our employee. And he had a time when he needed a correction. How many of you ever need a correction? I've needed a correction. No big deal, right? He needed a correction. So we brought that correction, no big deal, or so I thought, until his mama called. Wanted to let us know that she didn't appreciate the way that we had corrected her 30-year-old son. Come on. This guy's an adult. He's 30 years old. If my mama called my boss and told them they didn't correct me right, I would be mortified. I don't even know what I would do with myself if my mama called my boss. But in our day and age, you guys, it's just perverting it. Just that little twist from the actual thing that God has intended. He's intended for men to be men, for women to be women, for adulthood to be a place of responsibility joined together with the joy of being an adult. You see, we get all the joy outside of marriage, and God has called us not to enjoy the joy of marriage outside of marriage, but to enjoy the joy of marriage inside the marriage covenant. It's just a twitch off of what God actually intended. And then in every season, we wonder why there's pain and hurt and things missing, and we don't understand what's going on, and why there are reoccurring responses to this through the years. And I'm telling you, there is a time for everything, and there is a purpose for that season in your life. But outside of the proper season, the actions that we yield ourselves to will hurt us. They will cause us to be in pain. They will bring hurt and pain, and things that God never intended for us to endure will come at us like a storm when we find ourselves outside of the proper season that God has intended for us, outside of the proper place that God has intended for us, outside of the proper relationships that God has intended for us. Can I encourage you this evening to ask God and to seek His will for the season of your life? If you don't know anyone who's ever been single at your age and lived for God, please seek out someone who has done it right and find the answer for what to do right now. If you have never known anyone that had a good marriage and you find yourself married today, I encourage you to find a friend that loves being married, has a good one, somebody that you can learn from. But I also encourage you to dig into the Word of God. You see, all the time I hear early on moms in the season of babies, they say, well, this is just going to be miserable. It's not going to be very much fun. I'm going to have a hard time. This is going to be frustrating. And I encourage them, don't believe the lie of the enemy. Don't believe that this season has to be like that. Believe what God says about you. I'm going to lose babies. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. There's all this fear and disbelief. And I say to them, listen to me. The Bible says that you are a fruitful vine. You do not cast your fruit before its time. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you touch and put your hand to, it prospers. That's what God has to say about your season. Maybe you find yourself in marriage and you're saying, I just don't know if this will ever work out. Well, the Bible says that let no man put asunder that which God has joined together. He says that he will give you wisdom for your life and your godliness. He says that he will help you. He says that he who finds a wife, you say, oh, she's a terrible person. I never knew. He says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor with the Lord. Say, Jesse, I'm through all these seasons. You're talking about a season I don't even live in. What says that the older women and men are supposed to take the time to talk to the younger women and men? Not to talk about the younger men and women, but to talk to the younger men and women and teach them the things that they have in their life and pour into them and strengthen them. You see, I don't know what season you're in right now, but I know that God has a purpose for it. A purpose for it. So I'd say this, if the devil hates your season enough to pervert everyone and try to steal the joy from you, how about we as the church push into our season, find what the Word of God has to say about it and say, devil, you're not getting this one. I may have lost the last one and it may have been a tragedy. It was a train wreck. People were at the side of the road just watching with their mouths open as your life was destroyed before them. But the next one, God's going to lift you up and put you in a place where the light of God is going to shine into you. The light of God is going to shine from you. And people will say, man, I never knew that God could put something back together that good. I never had any idea that God was that good a puzzle maker. I had no idea that God loved those people enough to do what he did in their life. You see, it's important that we trust God with the season that we're in. If you're taking notes tonight, you chose to bring your notebook with you, I want to give you a few points that I'd like you to write down. Number one, knowing what season we are in and what the scripture has to say about it. Identifying your season. If you are single, you are single. You are single, you are single, you are single. You are not single kind of engaged, single kind of married, single. No, there's no. If you're single, you're just single. That's it. I love you and you are awesome, but you are single. If you are married, you're not kind of married, you're married. You are married, you are married, you are married. Therefore, you should behave married and act married and do things like a married person because you're married. And that's what season God has you in right now. Number two, being content and settling it in our heart that our identity lies in Christ and what he says that we are. So if you find yourself in a season and no one's saying the God stuff over you, someone's saying, man, I don't think you're going to make it. I don't think your marriage is going to make it. You're saying, that's funny because God said that I am a good wife. That I have wisdom beyond my years to deal with my husband, that I bring so much respect to him in the city gates. Everybody in the town talks about how great my husband is because how good I make him look. See, everybody can say what they want and they can speak over you what they want. You can't control anybody or anything, including your spouse, but you can control the verbiage that you use over yourself. See, I've just decided Jesse is happy. Jesse is content. Jesse loves Brian and will till the day she dies. Jesse loves Jesus. Jesse has a spirit-filled temperament. And even when she goes through the restaurant outdoor line and the man working the window takes her tea and throws it across the room last Thursday, Jesse does not lose her temper. Jesse smiles at him, and Jesse embraces the fact that he's having a bad day, and then Jesse considers, should I have a conversation with him? And then Jesse makes the right decision, and Jesse drives off. Because Jesse loves Jesus more than Jesse loves her way. That's a good confession. Everybody say, that's not your name. Say your name. That was a confusing mess, wasn't it? Go ahead, say your name real quick, one more time, real loud. Has a spirit-filled temperament. Woo! what if we chose to believe what God says about us instead of what people say about us? Because you know what? Whenever I was growing up, people said other things about me. But I say Jesse has a spirit-filled temperament. Jesse is kind when others are hateful. Jesse pours joy into people's lives when it looks dark and dreary. Jesse is an upper, not a downer. They're not going to call me Debbie Downer. They're going to call me Jesse Upper. I love it. Let's live life to the fullest and let's bring some joy to some people around us. I'm going to say what God says about me. Number three, commit ourselves to God's requirements and become responsible to those requirements. See, every day, all day long, you're running around trying to please people that do not matter. Every day, all day long, you're trying to hit standards that the world and Pinterest have set for you. All day long, you are trying to achieve goals that you have seen come across Facebook as great ideas for people in your season. And yet, God hasn't asked you for any of that stuff. He's asked you for some stuff. And we have to realize this is God's requirement of me. People don't like to talk about the God requirements, but there are requirements as people of God, as believers, as Jesus followers. We have a thing that God has called us to, things that God requires of us. And then we hold ourselves and we submit ourselves to the kind of authority that holds us to the responsibility of being just that. We don't like the word responsibility because that means we've got to show up and be committed to something. I just don't know if I can commit to that. If I had a dollar for every single time I've heard someone say, I just don't know that I can commit to that. I mean, I would be a wealthy woman. Because people don't like to commit. Last Wednesday night, I heard Dr. Morocco say, you got to commit to something to have anything. And man, it just resounded inside of me. And I started saying, thank you, God, that you taught me commitment. Thank you that you actually gave me the revelation of getting committed. Because see, if I'd married Brian, but I wasn't committed to it, we wouldn't still be married. If I had decided that I was going to follow Jesus, but I wasn't committed to it, I still wouldn't be, what, in relationship with God. If I had committed to a church, but when the first storm came, I just walked out the door and decided I didn't go to that church anymore, I wouldn't have the joy of seeing disciples that have come all over the place from being committed to the house of God. There is no joy like watching people walk in the truth that you got to have a part to play in that. And I don't care if I was at my dad's church scrubbing toilets or up here in this pulpit preaching, I have a part to play in somebody getting to know Jesus. Responsibility breeds joy. So we have to find out what God's requirement is of us and then commit ourselves to that thing. Commit to it. Like commit. Like not going anywhere. Like I'm going to show up every time. How many of you have people in your life that no matter it, when they called you, you'd show up for them? If you don't have someone like that, you need to build more relationships. You need to find people in your life and commit to them because there are people that it wouldn't matter if they called me from the other side of Asia at midnight on a Tuesday night. I would be there for them by the next midnight. If I could find a plane and ride it over, I'd go get them. Why? Because I have a commitment to the relationship and we are friends. We are covenanted together. We are with each other. We do whatever it takes. And I'm telling you, it is the joy of life to have people like that. If you don't have people like that in your life, you got to build more family and make more friends because they are the kind of people that make life worth living. Number four, not allowing ourselves to embrace the world's expectation of us. And number five, enjoying the one that we are in, the season, this one, right now, just making up our mind, we're going to enjoy the one we are in and not allowing ourselves to mourn the last one. I see so many people lose the joy of this one because they're mourning the fact that the last one is gone. Just today, I put up a video of Justice on social media, and Brian said, I miss that. And I thought, I don't. I remember all of those diapers. I don't miss it. It was wonderful, but I'm loving this one where he talks to me and we do things together. I love every season that we're in. You know, you can't spend so much time mourning the last one that you miss the one here today. Don't get into the next one too quick. Don't force the next one to come because you're just done with this one. Allow God to finish the process in you of wherever you are. And then move on to that next one with strength. Never, 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 never leave a season weak. Leave it strong. And let God move you into the next one. I'm telling you, seasons are God's way of giving us an entry and an exit point, an entry and an exit point where we know there's a division, a something that changed in us, maturity, responsibility, all of these things change as you age, as you go through different things. There are times to rest and times to work hard. Seasons are short and seasons are long. You see that kid years and the adult years and the teenage years, those are like number markers. But the majority of seasons have to be detected by knowing God and having him lead you and follow you through it. Because everyone's are different. You know, my single season might have been shorter than someone else's single season. My season of raising small children may be different from a mom that has 10. Your senior year's season may be longer. Hopefully, it's as long as you can get it to be so that you can continue to pour into people. Someone else, they may have died at 62 and they never got the joy of spending time with their adult children and pouring into them. You need to let everything that God gives you be the focus of God. Okay, you gave it to me, so what are you going to do with me in it? If we mourn the last one or we push the next one, we miss the one we're in today.